The following is a recording of the Andrew LaPlante teleconference with Florida Atlantic University Board of Trustees on Friday, July 27, 2012 at 8:30 a.m. Central Time.
Purpose of the meeting today is a committee meeting of the Community and Governmental Relations Committee. So I'll turn it over to Chair Rubin.
Thank you. The focus of this meeting is on how we're going to develop and focus the university's brand, reputation, and identity in the community. We've been meeting with members of the university community to get their take on how we should move forward with this most important job that we have ahead of us. Jennifer O'Shaughnessy Anderson, she's here somewhere, sitting on my right, in huge help as we move this process forward and attempted to agree in the direction this needs to take. Jim Gray, the chair of FAU's marketing department in the College of Business, has provided a great deal of guidance and insight. I'm sorry he couldn't be with us today to offer some of that wisdom, but he'll be joining us for future meetings. For example, our logo and brand identity are done well. They're a little bit diluted. For example, we're using two different logos at the same time. We have the logo with a picture of the owl, and then if you look in our business card, there's a nice FAU swirl and all that. They're both well done, but I'm no branding expert, but from everything we've been told, we want to have some consistency in that. These are some of the things that Dr. Gray and other marketing experts have been telling us. In order to determine the next phase in the brand identity, we need to take some time to better understand what people think about FAU, what they find positive and negative, and in addition, what they need from and hope for FAU to be. How do they see other universities being effective and having a positive influence, and what can FAU do to emulate that? But most importantly, we need to zero in on our strengths. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
My apologies.
So one of the things that we were talking about is we need to answer the question, FAU is. And I think everybody might have an opinion of what FAU is, but we do need to help answer that question and zero in on it. We want people to buy into FAU and better know and understand our success. We want them to be proud of FAU and the impact this university has on South Florida. Jennifer brought up a good point. She said the rule of thumb with a billboard is that we can have an image in 7 words. That is all that someone can see when they're passing by in their car. So what would those 7 words about FAU be? Just something to think about. To that end, we have enlisted the help of Ann Dunkler from the Learning Alliance to continue the work that she started here a year and a half ago. After helping conducting our president's first board's retreat, soon after she became president, Ann embarked on an initiative to better understand our internal consistencies, opinions about FAU, and their aspirations for this institution as well as others. This year, from her findings, we've helped identify our research priorities and our signature themes. We're now going to ask her to take her approach, bring it to the next step, and apply it to our external communities to help identify what some of those are, and we're going to help with that today. We're going to get their input, their interests, and their perspectives. So I'd like to ask Ann to come up now to share with us a little bit about herself and how she'd be approaching this project. Ann?
Thank you.
I am not wearing a microphone, and I know that someone's on the phone. Can you hear me okay? No. Maybe I do need to snap on.
While you do that, can I just ask a question of the committee? I think all of what we're doing is very important here, and I'm really glad to see that we're doing it. But my experience has been that we start with a work plan, and we have two other very important parts of this. And so I would like to know the timeline that we're going to use for the economic development piece. And I realize that this, like, becomes a foundation, but also, and then we have the whole federal and state legislative piece. And those things, you know, time marches on, and if we don't get on the track, we lose time. So I'd like to know, you know, as a committee, what's our plan to make a plan so that we get this done in short order? Good. And are we going to meet again in August and have a work plan? Most of our committees operate with a work plan. So are we going to do that?
when the draft of the timeline ready to go, and I can we'll share that with you.
By the end. Okay.
Yeah.
By the end of the script.
Yeah.
Okay. Now can I be heard?
Now you can be heard.
Good. Okay. As Bob said, I was brought in about a year and a half ago to do interviews in preparation for strategic planning, which the president was initiating. I met with, it felt like I met with 300 people, in fact, over a course of about 3 days, back to back, Tom was one of them. I met with about 40 people, I'd say. They were mainly people who were going to participate in the roundtable, strategic roundtable that was held. They were mainly internal, although there were some external people, there were some members of the board. And I asked them a series of questions that would ultimately help the facilitator, the president, and others who were planning, Jitanjali, who were planning for the strategic planning roundtables, to give them background and give them a sense of what people were thinking about FAU. I started with a question that asked them what 5 words they believed best characterized Florida Atlantic University. I then went through a sequence of questions asking about what do you feel are some of the assets, what do you feel are some of the liabilities, and I ended with a question that asked them about future work. What's the future vocabulary you'd like to hear about FAU? The first thing I need to report to you is that amazing progress has actually been made because of the strategic plan. So I'm not going to run through my study completely, but I will give you some of the highlights. One of the things that we found was that, not surprisingly, there are multiple personalities. No big surprise. There were at that point, I believe, 7 campuses. How many colleges?
8.
Okay, a lot of colleges. So people really had trouble getting a handle. Well, which part of us are you talking about? It's kind of like the elephant in the blind man. You know, it's which part are you pointing to? And so part of the things they said was that because of these multiple personalities, the university lacked a real identity in the system. Ironically, I've done some of these same kinds of studies at other institutions in Florida, particularly at Florida State University, and I had precisely the same finding there. I also, quite frankly, had the same finding at my own university that I worked at for 26 years, which was the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, an Ivy League private. And it's not surprising that this is the case because universities are made up of a lot of different disciplines. And all of the disciplines, in a sense, have a constituency that's important to them and important for their funding and all sorts of reasons. So you run into this a lot. At Penn, and I'll come back a little bit later as we're talking about the future, we ran into also the fact that we were named like a state university, so we were always confused with Penn State University. I'm happy to announce today that we have less of that identity. Some people said, this is a place with tremendous youthful experience. We have the opportunities that no other institution that has a more traditional baggage to do some things that are really unique. We can take risks. We can be innovative. But do we do that? Or do we really want to be like some of these others? Because actually, U.S. News and World, which a lot we know, a lot of parents use as a guideline, and students do as a guideline to where they're going to go to college, it actually works more on the institutional memory and tradition side than it does on the innovative, ironically. So do we want to have more of these characteristics of an older institution? where do we focus? Where do we focus? You know, on the one hand, we were set up to be a place for students and teaching and access. We were last 2 years of college rather than the first. Now we've shifted backwards. You know, this is very confusing to our various audiences. Or do we want to really focus, and once again, it's back to institutional memory and traditions, the older institutions, do we want to look at research and scholarship? Is that going to be a strength? Can we do it all? And so really what we had is a distributed campus with multiple front doors and colleges. And the question really was, how can FAU be more than the sum of its parts? And that, in my report, was really where a lot of the questions came from. Now, from the report also, and I'm just going to quickly say that there were a number of opportunities now. The opportunities were, we have these wonderful scientific partnerships. Max Planck, Scripps, we have a new College of Medicine. We have the acquisition of Harbor Branch, which, you know, frankly, a lot of places would kill for those partnerships. Those are just spectacular. I worked with Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, which is affiliated with MIT, and they leverage so much in grants and other things. And, of course, MIT doesn't need a lot of leveraging. But they really do have a national name in and of themselves, as well as MIT. So Harbor Branch could just be a huge feather in your cap that way. You also were at that time, and this has just continued, you have this great influx of students. You had a growth in the student population for all kinds of reasons. Growth because of, frankly, the word was probably getting out, that you were going places. And that's what the interview said. Well, it's getting out that Max Planck is in partnership now and that we have in Scripps and et cetera. You also had GIs returning. You had your retirees and visitors, visiting retirees to this part of the world for continuing education. You have a whole shift in undergraduate student interest so that they're not quite so happy about just sitting in a classroom. They want to do research. They want to do experiential kinds of things. So you had all of these, all these intersecting opportunities. And remember, this was only a year ago that I did these interviews. You also had location, 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 you know, which they say is the first thing in marketing and branding. What a beautiful place. What a beautiful place and a desirable place in terms of the science that you're doing with the ocean and with an ecology around the area that's very fascinating. So some of the older members of the community, faculty in particular, were feeling very... They were feeling somewhat like, why aren't we taking advantage of this? Why aren't we? Younger people were saying, we do have these opportunities. And really, in general, what I found was there was really an intersection of interest between young and older of we really should be putting ourselves on the map. So language. I did a language study, and what... The way that they described FAU in at that time, in April or February, March 2011, was, on the one hand, becoming hopeful, and the numbers next to them are numbers of people who use those words, and it's a very telling thing about a culture to do this kind of a study. Energetic, dynamic, opportunity, change, leadership potential, feeling really positive. They had an academic president here. They had all of these advantages going for them. Descriptive word, we are diverse. We're more diverse than most campuses in the United States. We have scholarly research, scholarship and research going on. We're in a transition that usually doesn't have two eyes, and my spell check didn't catch that, so I apologize for that. We have local connections. We are science-based. We're student-centered. We're regional. We're comprehensive. But there were negatives, and they were, if you'll know, nine people said we're fractured. We're fractured. We're silo-based. Unrecognized, spread too thin, underfunded. And so then I asked them, as I said, what would you like your language to be? And they said, we want to be the talk of the town. Now, understand, when I do this, I group under, not everybody said talk of the town, but they had language that, and some people did say talk of the town. Research grants, selective, energetic football champs. Remember, the stadium was being built right then. They want to be socially responsible, community, and they want to have impact on the community. Diverse, accessible, engaged, sustainable, collaborative. We want to have academic significance, sciences, high tech, global, grad education, healthcare, interdisciplinary. And we want some organizational features that we feel are tripping us up right now that we don't have. We want to be focused. At that point, a lot of people said it was almost like we had an idea of the day. We were constantly shifting from one focus to another. We want to change that. We want to know who we are and where we're going. We want a simpler set of policies and procedures. They talked about all kinds of things. They had hoops they had to jump through. And we want to be larger. And you would think with these first two, focused and simpler, then say bigger, is that those are not in sync. But actually, if you think about it, the only way that a larger institution can actually have an identity is to be focused and to simplify some of its bureaucratic channels so that they are all in support of that focus. That's part of branding, by the way. People always think of branding as PR. Branding is not PR. Branding is who you are. And everything within the organization has to reflect that, who you are. So FAU had their strategic discussions, and here are the things that they focused on, many of which came out of those interviews as to what do you think needs to be done. One is we need to stop being in silos. Think about that word difference. We're fractured. How can you be focused at simplified bureaucracy and have a brand if you are fractured? So that was one of the questions at the roundtable. Resist temptations. Yeah, there are lots of opportunities that should come university's way. Frankly, if there aren't, then something's wrong. You're not a university. But you have to be able to resist the temptation to take all of them. If you take all of them, then you're nobody. You have to actually make certain you're making decisions about who you're going to become, who you are, and who you're becoming, that's based on some kind of a focus. You have to, and that, following that is exercise discipline and focus, and grow with a purpose. And the three themes that really came out of the strategic planning were marine and coastal. That really is no surprise to me. I mean, that was just over and over and over again through the interview. Biotechnology, once again, over and over with the partnerships you have. And contemporary societal issues. That's where your depth and your breadth really comes into play, that you have a lot of disciplines to bring to bear if they're working together on social issues.
And wouldn't you say that, so far from last year to this year, by the development of those themes, we are resisting the temptations. I realize that we must continue to do that. But, in fact, we came from all over the map and have narrowed it, and we are more
yes.
focused than we were, right? I mean,
yes.
obviously we have to continue to do that, but I'd say that we came a long way.
And frankly, I've been having to bone up a little bit just recently because I'm doing some coaching and health with some presidents in different places. So I've been reading a lot, and one of the books I've been reading really talks about how when you have focus, that those leaders who have focus can start out saying things that may not necessarily be true in the beginning. An example is Best Buy. Let me take Best Buy as an example. Best Buy, the CEO started talking about it's all about the people in blue shirts. Well, the people in blue shirts are on the floor at Best Buy. And the people in the blue shirts know everything about every product, and if they don't know about it, then they're going to find out about it. When he started talking about that, it wasn't the case. The blue shirts didn't know anything on the floor. They were completely ignorant. But he said it over and over and over again so that all of his top people began reflecting this in their own individual stores.
I can give you a fabulous example of that in our arena. A legislator up where I live up the coast, almost not quite to Harbor Branch, but up there. When he was first elected, junior, you know, he stuttered actually even in the late 80s. He decided that Indian River, Martin, St. Lucie County, and Northern Palm Beach would become the research and education coast. Now, I'm going to tell you something. People laughed. I mean, that was a joke and a half. And I laughed, and I know him very well. Well, you know, drive up there. You know, starts with Smith and Mox Ponce and goes all the way to Harbor Branch. It is, you know, it is becoming the research and education coast of Florida. And, you know, it was a dream, and I'd say for 10 years he's the only one who ever said it.
Well, you know what?
So
hey, it's about 10 years.
I mean, honestly. And so, you know, and how lucky are we that that's part of our region?
Exactly.
I mean, so we need to take advantage of that,
exactly.
in my opinion.
But, and the 10 years is not out of line with what...
I bet it was a hard, long 10 years, actually.
And for institutions to be recognized.
We had that happen here with our campus with Coach Schnellenberger.
He had 10 years of hearing 1,000 reasons why it couldn't work, why it's
right,
not going to work.
Right.
1,000 different people, and
guess what?
It was over there.
And
so
that, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of it's a can-do kind of attitude. Now, I have to say that in an academic institution, it's a lot more difficult because of the different agendas of the constituencies and the multiple constituencies that you're drawing your resources from. I mean, there is not a single market out there for higher education. It is multiple, and sometimes they're conflicting. But I'll talk more about that as we go along. And make the tough decisions. And I think the tough decisions are being made. Certainly, as the budget is tightened here, for higher education, as it has done in a number of the states across the country, presidents and their teams are having to make really excruciating decisions. And I think it would be foolhardy of me not to say, as somebody who's worked in communications a long time in my life in strategic planning, that one of the, I think, real uphill battles that you have as an institution that most flagship institutions and even the top privates and the top liberal arts colleges in the country have is that there are not the same dollars to actually commit to marketing that you have someplace else. And I'm going to share with you the central communications function for this university as a part of the centralized budget, only $100,000. The rest is distributed. And that is an unusual. When I was at Penn, it was exactly the same way. But what I did about it was that when I became head of communications for Penn, their chief spokesperson, I actually negotiated for their recruitment materials budget to be under me, which gave me $3.5 million. And that was in 1983. So if you convert that to today's dollars, that was a huge constituency for the University of Pennsylvania, that undergraduate population. And I was able, with the provost of the university and the deans of the colleges who went along with my strategy, to brand Penn overall through that marketing campaign. We just then, we identified the messages, we identified how we were going to talk about Penn, and most of you wouldn't know this, some of you would, but in 1983, Penn really was not viewed as part of the Ivy League. It was not a member, it was, but it wasn't seen by the general public as part of the Ivy League. And through changing the character of the campus so it no longer had trolley tracks through it, to beginning to have a much stronger research base and a broader recruitment field, and this marketing program, we actually elevated the whole university. And there it took, once again, about 10 years. Although I will tell you that our first recruitment piece that we sent out to prospective students, we yielded a 33% response, which is unbelievable for direct marketing. And we already began to go up the charts with our undergraduates. Now, what I'd like to do is really facilitate a discussion here with all of you about the next stage. And we're going to do focus groups and interviews. So we're going to do a combination of groups and one-on-one interviews. I did all one-on-ones for the internal, which was the right thing to do because it was specifically being done for a planning group. But here we're going to do groups. We're going to have where the goal really is to increase external engagement for FAU, which means to brand it so that people know what FAU is and where it's going and how they can engage with it.
Can you repeat that statement? What the purpose again is?
The purpose is to find out from people their own perceptions of FAU. And through studying those perceptions in relation to what we learned internally, to actually come up with a goal, to reach a goal of how are you going to talk about yourself in terms of the messages you send out, and how are you going to engage with those messages with the constituencies you want to engage.
But we're not going to ask them what our identity should be.
We will draw that from the questions in the same way that the strategic planning group did.
But again, we're not asking them what they think we should be. We know what we should be. We're not.
Right. But we are not, and we're not going to ask them what we should be. I'll get to the questions. And part of what I'd like to do with this group is to actually talk about the groups of people we should be engaging and the types of questions we'd like to ask them. I have some ideas, but I'd like to learn from you all, too. But I think you need to think about this opportunity not just as, to put it a different way, I want you to think of the opportunity as both an information gathering process where you're going to be able to brand yourself and also the first step in cultivation of some of these important groups and individuals. Because when you get people together in a room or you're one-on-one with them, even if you, and in fact even more if you're an outsider, you can have a conversation with them that begins to give them a sense of engagement with the university and begins to give them a sense of the university by the kinds of questions you're asking and the ways that you are, and the setting you're in, for example. So, yes, I'm going to ask them, what do you think, you know, what I want to find out what their perceptions are now and what they believe the perception should be. But I also want to ask them some other questions along the way that will be useful. Does that answer the question?
My concern, I'm sorry, go ahead, Abdul.
If I may. I look at this and you can guide this in any direction you want just by virtue of who you're asking the question to. If you ask it of insiders, they're going to answer it one way. If you ask people in the local community, they're going to answer the questions another way. And if you ask people in California, again, another way. I think what's really important for us is to define when we answer the question that Trustee Rubin asked FAU is, who are we addressing? Because, you know,
there's a target market.
There isn't, right? I mean, we have different target markets.
You're
because
not very different.
Because we have students, prospective students. We have parties that will buy grants. That, you know, and then the local community,
yeah,
right?
Voters,
and
legislators.
And it goes, it's endless. But the student, and then you can break down the student group into a variety of groups.
Absolutely.
You know, you have the one that says, well, I want to go to FAU because they've got a great ocean engineering program, and another one that says, well, X Magazine said it's the number 12 party school in the state. I mean, there's different perspectives. And there are kids that pick University of Florida because of education. And there are kids that pick University of Florida.
We had to take that teacher stuff all day yesterday. I'm tired of it.
The social life. So I think what's really important is that, you know, once we get somebody here, I think it's easy to keep them because they learn so much and it's a great institution. It's really how do we get them here and how do we come up with that, whatever it is, those seven words, that affect everybody, whether it's the person in Washington that is going to, you know, write a grant check to us, or the student from California that wants to come over to this coast and to be near water but, you know, wants either an education or to party. Yeah, whatever it is, how do we capture that whole thing in sort of one
sentence?
One sentence.
You can, and frankly, that is the goal, okay, is for me to be able to analyze this and along with my recommendations of what you believe from what I tell you. And that's the goal.
But a lot of it does come to the initial statements about branding because, you know, if you were to ask people about University of Florida, they'd say Gators. Maybe their whole, everything is summed up in one word, Gators. And
Gator Nation.
And that's very important. They've been very successful at branding themselves as the Gators. And whether it's on an academic basis or a social basis, they've been very successful at doing it. Penn, you know, at least in my circle, they don't really talk about Penn. They talk about Wharton. In my circle.
Yeah.
In finance, it's all about Wharton. You know, people don't introduce themselves as I went to University of Pennsylvania in my business. They say I went to Wharton.
But you see, that in a sense, for Penn, we don't brand as Wharton. We actually brand as Benjamin Franklin. Because our constituencies are lawyers. We have equally strong people in the medical field who think of Penn only as medical school. We have equally strong alumni and donors who are in the Annenberg School of Communications who think only of Penn as communications. And so the one thing that they all have in common was this university was founded by Benjamin Franklin, who believed in both the ornamental and the professional education.
Okay. I don't disagree. And maybe I'm in a silo of business, and that's where most of my exposure. But I'm going to tell you that, you know, my kids go to school up the street that feeds into University of Pennsylvania a lot. It's probably one of the schools they feed into the most. And every parent, when you talk to them, where's your child going to school? Or That's what they say. You may not like it, but that's what they say.
Get this back. Yeah, but you know, my point is that if you just ran according to one of your strongest areas, then you actually have missed all of your other resource opportunities. And so that, I think what you need to try and do is get those seven words. And Wharton might be part of one of those seven words.
You know, yesterday...
But it would not be the only one.
Yesterday, several of us were at a meeting on higher education reform, and in some of the small groups that I was in, people were saying, it was all the FUS, you know, every school's represented, they were all saying, what's your mantra? They weren't calling it the branding, but they were calling it the mantra, and they were referring back basically to what the president would say, you know, when they go out. And it made me think, what if somebody asked me that? Well, 5 years ago, it was, we want to become the university of first choice. That's all it could make me think. So I think we're right at the right place. That's what we wanted to be. But I think now we're well on our way to that. So now we've got to get to the next seven words. But for several years there, that worked very well for us in every area. You know, it let the research community know what we were doing. It let the legislators. It really sent a message where we wanted to go. But I think we're over that now. I think we need the next seven words.
And I guess really the basic thing I want to say to you is, yes, that's what we are trying to do with this, is identify when we get a lot of people from different important constituencies to you talking about FAU, what do they say about FAU, and what's common among what they say? So in a sense, I'm wrong when I say Ben Franklin. What became common about Penn was Penn has some of the top-ranked professional schools in the country, from medicine to Wharton and business to law, and we have an outstanding arts and sciences program. So, you know, there is that focus of effort. This has to be the same way. And we're talking the same language, and I don't want to get bogged down
Since I've been chair, the two things that I've pushed have been research and community relations. And I, at the meeting we're at over in St. Petersburg, clearly the state is going to force universities to become not everything to everybody, but more specialized. So we need to know where we're going, because if we don't, we're going to be in big trouble. The community relations side, I wanted to make sure that businesses knew what we had to offer. And if we didn't have what they needed and we could provide that, we would look at bringing that on. The reason I asked the question initially was, I don't think, with that in mind, and wanting to have good relationships with all of our corporate partners and business partners in the community, I don't think we can go out, and if they want us to be the best art school in the nation, and we don't have that availability, that they think we're going to go back and build that. Because we... okay. No, I'm serious, because, you know, all of a sudden you start engaging people and they start to get expectations, they'll be sorely disappointed. So I think that when we go out, we have to know to a certain extent what we do well, so that we can brag on that and try and grow that part of
the community. Absolutely.
And he's right. I mean, we've seen that with people who want buildings. They want to give you a lot of money, but they, you know, the building they want doesn't happen to be what we need. I mean, I think we keep some sort of animals in Jupiter because somebody wanted that. You know, I mean,
the dog park.
So, I mean, so, you know, he's absolutely right.
For sure to say that. It's really hard.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many universities there are that have some terrible art that somebody has donated to the campus.
I bet everybody does.
And people sort of say, oh, now where are we going to put it? Well, you know, we've got this huge oak over here. Could we just kind of put it behind? So, I mean, this is kind of common, but I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and I'd like to follow up on Bob's comments. And also, Sherry, we have come a long way. We've gone through some wrenching changes as far as both personnel reductions, budget reductions, and campus closures. But I think through that, it has caused us to focus doing more with less. But we are at this sort of time that we are changing so much, it really comes down to those questions that I already said, who we are, what we have to use, what to set words and all that. But I guess to Bob's point, we have to be a little careful, and I hadn't really thought this through, of going out of the community, that we have to somewhat drive that a little bit. Because it also then goes to, there's so many people not a half a mile from this campus that have either never been on the campus before. I think you made that comment, Anthony, or Tom made that comment to me. I never thought about that. Literally, people living across the street have never been here. Never mind, they don't even know what's going on here. There's just, I don't know what percentage, but it's probably high 90th percentile. I have no idea that live within 3 or 4 or 5 miles of here or 3 or 4 or 5 miles of Jupiter. I have no clue what's going on here.
And I think one of the things that we're going to have to be careful of is there are really two kinds of focuses. One is when you already have a brand and you go out and you test it, which is when you start asking questions like, when you think of Florida Atlantic University, I mean, this is a leading question, so it's not really scientific, but the gist is that you're testing to see if they recognize FAU as affiliated with marine and coastal programs, if they affiliate it with biotechnology, if they affiliate it with solving a lot of contemporary social issues, which are really the three areas that the strategic plan is focusing on building at FAU. So you test that, which calls for a different kind of questioning than where are they right now, which is what I was doing with the focus group, with the interviews that I did for planning. Because by doing that testing, I was trying to see where's the kind of center of gravity here on the campus. Okay.
I'd like to jump ahead a little bit because I think there's some key words in some of these things coming up that I think we should spend some time on. And if you would jump to the third bullet from the bottom. I think the important word there, and maybe put them all up, is that influential member of the external constituency. And that's what I think this group would help our administration best with is a real true recognition of who's the most influential in determining our future. And I think it's key that our local business community is going to be essential as we partner going forward. I think obviously it's key that the philanthropic community is supportive. But I also think we cannot get away from that government relations. The biggest impact on our budget is really our legislative contingency supporting the goals of both higher education and the university. We can't make up $25 million in philanthropic gifts. I mean, I don't know how many billions it would take to generate that in interest each year. So I think that when we talk about the influential members of the and the third one I think is really the parents and potential students.
Well,
because that, again, is something that's going to support us. So I think as you frame
that's also discussion, the local schools. Let me add in there the local school districts because those guidance counselors are critical. Somebody, one of the four of us yesterday was told by somebody in Clearwater how all these kids from Clearwater, their high school, want to come to FAU and are coming to FAU. We're not getting...
kind of cool, why?
Well, it is cool. We couldn't... Listen, we were doing other stuff. We don't know. But what we don't know is what we're not getting is the local parents and students thinking FAU is a good place for their child to go. And we can start that with guidance counselors. And, oh, by the way, we host all the guidance counselors in South Florida in either September or October. And they come and they go to their meeting and they leave. We are a repository of chairs for them to hear their stuff. Now, we're crazy if we don't take advantage of showing them the new FAU.
This messaging, who are those influential external constituencies? And I think that list could be generated quickly, and that's who I think the contact has to be with.
That is good.
I'm looking at the clock thinking we have to jump
some
practical stuff here.
That's
so
important
really
to get that.
What we're
going to
do is go through some of these questions to get to that. And I'm actually... One of the first things, and actually I'm going to jump by this, and I'm going to have a start with the identification of influential members of SAU's external community. I'll come back to setting. Let me tell you what I have in mind so that you know why I have that up there. And it's what I was saying earlier, that once you know who you're going to be interviewing or having in a group, what the group is, then you actually identify the best place to hold these groups. For example, if you have identified that there are five individuals who are super-duper influential people in the community, you may want to hold the interviews in the president's conference room up there on a day when the president's around, when the president can come in and actually say hello to them and greet them. Because it is an opportunity for cultivation, and you can't let that go. Likewise, if you're holding a group that is particular, a business group, that's particularly interested in what is FAU offering in terms of training people for the future of healthcare, let's say, then you would want to take them to a site where you're really showing off that and they're walking through that kind of environment. Or medicine, same thing with the College of Medicine. So you, the settings are as important in some ways because it's your way of doing, as Sherry said, if you're going to have the counselors in, for goodness sake, don't have them just occupying a chair and being interviewed and talked at. Give them a sense of what the place is like.
Even a tour.
So, but I'd like to start with the influential members of FAU's external communities, and then also talk about which of these people, what, and it includes groups and individuals, and then talk about are there individuals in the group that you should be picking out for individual interviews. And which people are going to be fine just in a group setting. Right, it's a big, we're just starting this, so I understand we can't do everything. But you have a sheet, don't you?
We pass it around.
Okay.
Right here.
If you would, you want 10 groups, organizations, businesses that you want to be sure that I see during my interview, I'd appreciate that. And we can do it.
This is not just for the board. This is, you know, senior staff, deans, any interested party of FAU here that's interested that can help us with this. And I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I just thought about high school principals as a group. You know, Boca High, Suncoast, Dwyer, them. You know, if you get a group like that together, this came up just from sitting here. So if you all, nobody here has a lock on ideas. So if you come up with some names of some groups, have at it.
There's also a question here about the areas from which you're going to draw, which maybe we should settle first before we get into the individuals and groups, and that is how far abroad do you want to go? I mean, how what
geographical
areas do you want, geographical areas? Do you feel you want to have these individuals and groups come from?
At the very most, it should be Broward, Palm Beach, you know, around Harbor Branch. That should be the very most.
So, and just to, so this is so we can define our branding. Is the reason you're meeting with these people?
Yes.
Well, even though I don't think it's in law anymore, don't we have a service region?
Mm-hmm.
What's our service? I mean, I don't think it's really in law, but no, but it is it in law? Okay.
It is because
it was, and then it wasn't.
When all the other universities were coming down, right now every university is kept to its
so
area it's in now, and if they want to move to another area, that's what causes the. So ours is where we are now is defined.
So basically, we're from Broward County through Indian River, including Okeechobee, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? So it's our service region. For lack of a better, I mean, I think we could call it our service region.
Yeah, we could just say.
So would you want to ask other universities what they think of us?
Fine.
think there's a couple.
We can define that that service area.
I think that there's potential research opportunities if we start to collaborate. You know, one of the things I talked about yesterday was collaboration. And if we want to be a research university and they don't perceive us that way, it'd just be good to know. If they think of us one way, because they are competition on the other hand, so if they think that we're
collaborative versus competition.
Right. Well, but also if we're competing for students and FIU thinks that we are not good at something, but we are, and we just need to know that so we can maybe sell that a little bit more.
But who do you ask within those silos of all those schools? You know, who do you get that best?
Counterparts maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Or even making that a little broader, you know, we share our territory with the three prominent
state colleges. That's what I was thinking. We certainly ought to get their opinion because they're feeding us.
That's the whole thing. That's the state colleges. The state colleges within our service area, I guess what let's say.
Which there's three.
Okay, so just leaving in a service area, okay.
Yeah. I think a question still is, how much are we using this opportunity to just get input versus what percentage of this dialogue is output also?
Push versus input.
What percentage of this is information to the folks?
The blue shirt. The blue shirt.
Yeah, right.
Now, some of it you can do that in various ways. I mean, it's difficult as the person, and actually we have other experts in the workroom on this front, but it's difficult as the person questioning to mix up too much those two roles of saying, here's who we are, really, and then saying, you know, if you were to answer the question, FAU is, what would you say? They kind of look at you like, well, you just told me what you should say. You know, like, you just said that you're annoying and, you know, so if there's a fine line there, one thing that you can do is you can have available to them at the interview or the group discussion a sheet that actually tells them more about the university. But in the first instance, I think you want them, from what I'm hearing from all of you, you want them to answer the question, complete the sentence, FAU is.
I don't want that.
I don't think that's a good, sorry to leap in, but...
I can't answer that. You can't answer that.
I was
you
just going to say,
so why
I can't ask one person I know that and get an answer that's sensible.
Yeah.
And just like when yesterday when people were saying, what's the mantra? I was like, well, they don't ask me that. Seriously. So, I think we have to be a little more into what we want to be before we ask them, are we accomplishing it? That's the way I see this interviewing going.
And if you ask that question in a group setting, you're going to start getting groupthink around that. And
yeah,
that wouldn't be good.
But I'm thinking about
although
the marine coastal issues.
I go around and I usually have them write it down and then give me their answers rather than to have a discussion about it.
But regardless, I think MJ's got a great point. I think we need, you know, we've come a long way. But yet at the same time, kind of that next step is that we have to just decide that, what that is. I think we collectively have to do that here and not have that on the outside and then push that out.
Do you agree on that?
Abdul, you think that? Anthony?
Adding on to that, I don't think we've ever really defined our influential partners.
Yeah.
And what will be our strategy to utilize those partners.
Right.
I would like to see, certainly by the end of the year, we are very clear in our thinking of our business partners, our legislative partners, our, you know, people of influence partners, and a plan, how do we orchestrate that relationship to be firmer. I think we've made some progress, but I don't know that we have constructed, the BDBs, you know,
right.
Chambers, you know, these legislators, these legislative aides. The power behind the
phone
of somebody. So I think that needs to be, it would be very helpful to have this be part of the discussion.
And that's actually one of the major reasons do something like this in a lot of ways, apart from making certain that your branding, with the right people, because they'll spread the word for you.
Are we approaching the right people in the right school systems?
Right.
You know, is that a focused strategy?
So is this area the area where you're going to focus on identifying those individuals?
I would say unless we have one huge place where we draw from outside for our out-of-state tuition. Do we have one, like, locality, like the Northeast or the Midwest, or, you know, do we have that? I mean, do we know that?
Do you add Tallahassee?
Well, that's part of the legislative side, definitely.
Tallahassee. There's a lot more in Tallahassee than... I mean, look at all the people.
Yeah.
I add Tallahassee. Look at all the people that I re-upped with yesterday, and now they're all in different places. So there's a lot more than legislative staff at Tallahassee that are important to us.
As a point of information, we have, we're hiring contract employees for the out-of-state recruitment of students for the first time.
That's in the Northeast, right?
For Chicago, Northeast, Atlanta, as areas where we think we can draw student population. Interestingly, with an analysis of where our students are coming from, within Florida, Jacksonville is a prime target area for us. That's an area where, you always map out by your major highways when you look for areas to recruit students. And we have a different appeal than North Florida, the University of North Florida. So that is a market area for us.
Is that a geographic appeal, MJ, or an academic appeal?
It's geographic and academic. And just enough far away on a major highway. So
well, that's what I...
That's
because where I live, UNF is real popular.
Yeah.
So it's got to be the same thing.
I
just want to add to you, what's interesting is I know a lot of kids that go to UNF from down this area.
The highway. And we do have a new assistant vice president of enrollment management. He's come to us from University of Wisconsin-Madison. That's an important thing that you need to know about. So we've got someone who's a pro in that area, and that's the first time we've had someone in that role since I got here. The other thing is we have a new assistant vice president for marketing who's come to us from the New York region.
Yes.
And so then again, that's another positive thing of having some staff and some internal creativity to help with these agenda items too.
Well, and that was going to be a question that I was going to ask actually of the group was, and you asked it earlier, are there a couple of places nationally that you might want to, where you might have alums, you might have some other people who you could begin to have relationships with that could help them as well?
Well, unlike Penn, the majority of our students really are Broward and Palm Beach. I think that takes in about 85% of our graduates and about 85% of our student body. So.
And you don't have, you can go up to how many out-of-state people?
The system is capped at 10%. I understand the system's at 3% now,
okay.
So there's a lot of capacity for us.
Well, that was sort of where I was going.
Yeah.
Is it a potential revenue generator for you that can counter some of the state?
I think both revenue and cultural and, again, becoming more of a national university, it's important.
So it may be worth your while if you're doing focus groups to put together a small one in someplace like New York or wherever, just to see what you'd have to do in that area.
Jacksonville.
I have Jacksonville. I have Jacksonville, too.
By the way, I came here from Jacksonville.
There you go.
Oh.
Did you?
I did.
Really?
Oh, you're in Jacksonville.
Cool.
We'll take you with the highway.
I don't remember exactly why.
One other opportunity we have, as long as we're sharing this, is, you know, we're on TV three times this fall with football. And Jennifer and her staff are putting together a new, you know, you always get a free message. So we're putting together a new message on that. And the mantra on that is really the making waves, you know, bringing in that making waves, the coastal imaging, things that are going to, that, again, our target would be students wanting to come here. And we think the beach is the selling point there.
So in a sense, you already have a kind of upper level, because you have these three areas, you already have identified what you'd like your brand to be, what you'd like to be known by. Making Waves actually fits into that, but it's for a young audience. You can use that same brand. I mean, what I'm saying is, don't think you're so far away from a brand. Identity. You might be this close, and it's a matter, when I was talking about Penn earlier, what I was really trying to point out was that we were able, within what we chose as our areas of specialty, to then tailor the message in terms of vocabulary to different constituencies. Because you're not going to say making waves to
any
constituency to a researcher. And so, you know, if it's that you're going to be known for marine and coastal and biotechnology and solving the world's problems or social issues, then you find what's the best way to say that, and then you have to tailor it depending on who you're going to, because not everybody uses the same language.
Like a politician.
Yeah.
A good one.
That's exactly what they do. They have their team.
Well, you are feeling your short-term status.
I know.
Here.
Get ready.
I'm not
going to
sit next
to
Larry anymore. People think I'm whispering in your ear.
They identify, here are our themes. We want people to know us by. And then they begin to say, and here's how we're going to say it here, and here, and here. I'm glad you brought up the making waves, because that's, you already, for undergraduates, have a way of talking to them.
Well, that was the title of the strategic plan. So that was something
that
had input into.
Something like that can be used in our target groups, like Abdul talked about, whether it's students, whether it's donors or influential groups outside of the community.
Absolutely. And I can test that. I can test that.
So what we're saying is,
how
we have the themes. How do we get it out there?
If I say to you, making waves, what does that mean to you? And how would you actually talk about it? And what does it convey to you? You know, I should start testing things like that to get us more refined. Because if you know that these are the three areas you want to hit, and that's where you're going with your strategic plan, then that's what you should be testing out there.
Isn't it almost called a did you know when you go to these influential groups? You know, like, say you go to a business group in St. Lucie County. Okay, that's the Indian River Lagoon. It's in serious jeopardy. It's in the newspaper at least 5 days a week. What we're saying is, what we want to know is, do you know that FAU at Harbor Branch is doing incredible research on your lagoon that's so important to you, economically, diversity? You know, I mean, it's almost a did you know in these themes to these influential groups, with a focus on what's the most important to them.
Once again, I see a head shaking, and this is one of my partners in crime, so I'm gonna look a little bit that way. You don't want to lead them too much. is the bottom line. And so you want, on the one, you want to test things. So you can't put it as did you know, because then they immediately
are intimidated.
They're intimidated. Yes. They immediately think, oh, well, maybe
Isn't that where you want to end up, though?
Yeah.
That's where you want to end up.
Yeah,
right. I mean, like, if you look at the making waves, you know, for a student, it means, you know, they're coming here and developing their career. If you're in the research, engineering research, maybe you've come up with some new invention that's making a wave throughout the nation.
And if you're
in the med school, you're making waves. You know, Florida did with that. They did the Go Gators, then they did Go Cure Cancer, Go Start a Fortune 500 company. And they just they took that out, but it got their message across what they did, what they wanted to tell you they did well at that university. And, you know, I think that's kind of what we're looking potentially to do, too.
It seemed like making waves with athletic, making waves with research, making waves with...
Whatever. You know, whatever we want to tell people. And maybe making waves isn't it, you know, but I think that's the...
It's the gist of, I think, you're changing things.
Yeah, the terminology is that we've started using, are you a wave maker, you know, and highlighting faculty, students that do something interesting, exciting, again, that idea that it's young, different.
Or older and still making waves, you know, it's lifelong learning.
Well, young meaning useful in your output. We're all useful. Listen, I've met more useful 90-year-olds than I can count on two hands down here. Right. There we go. A guy doing a book on tattoos at 91 years old.
We should all be there, right?
So
he's not getting one, is he?
I'm following Bob's guideline that you 92nd birthday. Earlier rather than later.
If we can, yes.
So you've got the sheets of paper, which we really need your input on.
We should get these done now.
Get them now.
We're not leaving the building until we turn these in.
Yes, absolutely. We need you to
Especially Abdul. Unless you go make waves, you're never going to be back with that.
I want to insert one other, you know, sometimes language is so important of how we define things. And this committee was called Community and Governmental Relations, but we've made a decision to sort of talk about it as university relations internally, that when we hire someone to promote the university, we're not going to try to really segment their contact group to either government or community or business, but we're trying to get it, each position to have a bigger umbrella of university relations that I think, and so I'd like to be thinking that way too, that although we need these segmented populations for touch points, it's all about the university and our relationship with people, not just governmental or business or philanthropic. So that's a little language change we're using internally.
But when we formed the committee, my concern was that we've always had community outreach, but we've done concerts and those types of things, but we didn't do a very good job of business relationships and government relationships.
Absolutely.
So I don't. The only concern I would have is that we lose focus on those and say, "Well, we're doing the university because, as you know, over in St. Petersburg."
I don't think it causes us to lose focus.
No, I just want to make sure we don't.
But it also goes the other way from what MJ just said. Is it's also university driven, but it's also not business school driven or medical school driven or. You know, it's eliminating the silos within all those parts also. It's the totality of the university interacting with the totality of our outside groups as we define them.
Yes. And Bob, I absolutely agree with you then that one of the core groups we need to rally in support of the university in a two-way dialogue is absolutely that business community. That's critical to our success.
I just sent an email to you this morning, $3 million grant from Cardinal Health to Ohio State University to do some research. And that's the kind of stuff we're going to see less and less coming out of the federal government. We have to look to industry for some of these grants and research.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you choose, when we were talking about areas, if you choose any outside the city, one of the things to do is to take into consideration how much, and, you know, frankly, just as an outside person and with a communications background, because of your scientific aspect, you really have more to offer in some ways to some outside businesses and make those partnerships than other institutions in Florida, it seems to me. I don't know.
One last piece of information that we sent to you, but I think is just extraordinary. You know, we talk about our diversity of student body, and we were recently ranked nationally by U.S. News and World Report as the 27th institution nationally ranked for diversity of student body. And that is, I think, an enormous selling point to young people to come to a campus. You know, we really reflect more than any other university in Florida the demographics all over of the state and all over of really the country. So that, I think, is really a fabulous piece of information to move forward with. That very unique within the Florida. The next one in Florida comes in at about 62. And that's because of our wonderful blend of Hispanic plus African American plus Asian students plus white students, you know, really is a unique characteristic of this institution that I'd like to see us capitalize on.
I see that right now, the Olympics fall. One of the things that they're talking about there, the participants are saying, is that the village gives an opportunity for the diversity of all the people mm-hmm. and learn about their cultures and do well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had this discussion all the way through this morning to some extent. The only thing I'd like to prep me a little bit on is, what do you think external perceptions in some of these critical groups and individuals will be about the idea? What do you think they see about the idea now? Do they think about the idea at all?
I think a lot of them don't. I think we're not on the map in a lot of places.
So you're not really overcoming a negative. You're not coming from a negative position. You just are having to educate.
I mean, there are certainly you could look at some things in a negative way. I just think it's mostly education. We've had some great, you know, people leave the university and do some great things, but nobody knows about it outside of the insiders. So you know, we see it. You know, if there's a billboard showing that we have an astronaut graduate from here, I think a lot of people would talk about it. It's education of the success of the school to the community is very important because they'll repeat it. If somebody asks them a question about FAU, it may be just one statistic. They saw a picture of an astronaut on a billboard that said, "Did you know he made waves?" You know, something like that. Waves
cool.
of space, hey. There you go. We got one.
Which brings us back to the ocean, the waves that we're making now.
But if somebody sees
that's
it,
cool.
They drive by it every day and they see that little thing, they'll repeat it.
Yeah.
You know, they might repeat it at work. They might repeat it to a relative in New York or Jacksonville. But it would help. It's really
that they don't know.
Coming from a student here to where I am today, never heard anything that was, you know, negative bad. It was just negative, not great. You know, it was a commuter school. It was a two-year school. All those are negatives, which might stop somebody from looking at FAU, but we can get past those by educating people on all the great things.
Absolutely.
I think we've gotten past a lot of that. I think the whole two-year school, the whole find another university, I think all these changes we've gone through over the last two or three years, as painful as they are, has also caused that impression to sort of go away.
I think
it gives us the ability to really show who we really are.
I see it less, but it's still out there. It's still there. I mean, people still pick University of Miami because they don't, and I think that's kind of a community school too. But they still view this as a commuter school. We really need to get past that.
What's interesting is the comment on the kids that are from Dunedin High School that are coming down here, and actually I know another few people came down from Tampa High Schools. They view us as a smaller version of the big universities. And they kind of like the, you know, intimate is probably not a good word, but it's got everything that the big universities have, but it's not 50,000 students.
Not overwhelming.
Yeah, and they've got the new dorms and the beach is close. So they look at it differently in those locations than a kid that goes to Jupiter High School would look at it, you know, right down the road. It's interesting. But I was going to ask maybe Jennifer, who's been doing this for about a year now, you know. I mean, but you've had a chance to really talk to the community, and you know, maybe what are you hearing from them?
I hear a lot of excitement. People, I think the last year and a half, 2 years, we've had some amazing accomplishments because of our faculty work, because of making some strong decisions. So I think we have started a buzz. And I think the business community wants to know about us. They want to get involved. And we just have to make those bridges so that they can. And I think raising our profile and awareness, that's something we are all going to collectively have to do. But I think that people want to love us. They want to believe in us. And I think we're really at that point to give them more reasons to do that. I think the businesses think very highly of us, especially certain programs, our accounting programs, our entrepreneurship programs. And they want to get more involved with the engineering and understand about innovation and how they can be a part of that. So I think as our research grows and our linkages with the business community, we'll have more examples and stories to tell. But I have to agree with Trustee Mulberry. In my time here, I haven't encountered negativity. I think it's people wanting to know and wanting to have excitement and building on the awareness from the medical school, the football program, our students being successful. So I think we're at a really important moment.
I'm going to raise a question that maybe only somebody like me can raise, because I mean, and I could go back and hide under my bed and hope. One of the things that worries me, and I raised this earlier, is I have a real sense, and I have since I first came and facilitated a board retreat a couple of years ago, which was heightened when I did the interviews internally, which was heightened even more with the results of the strategic plan and the major policies you have, that this is, in fact, an institution. I have real sense of that. I would use all the same words that I collected for what you want the university, your university, what language do you want to use? That was used by the internal group and that you're hearing. You said to me earlier, well, you know, I'm hearing a lot of that language, hopeful, opportunities, etc. So in my soul of souls, I don't think you have a really tough, steep mountain to climb in terms of educating people and finding the right teams, et cetera. I mean, we've just talked about making money, you know, it works. But you don't have the assets for billboards, for, you know, a big kind of campaign, communication campaign with these people. Now, some of it you can do through activities that you plan for them on campus. That's the nice thing about hitting the influencers. You then can start inviting them to things. You can start, you know, really targeting them for major activities, et cetera, giving them better seats at the state, whatever it might be. But in terms of going and having a spread beyond them, A, you're going to have to arm them with some of the things that will help them to go beyond themselves and their groups. And, you know, you're going to need some resources for the tools, for the tactics that are developed.
I drove up 95 this week, and I saw, I think, four FAU billboards. So there's money coming from somewhere to pay for these billboards. It was an executive MBA, and it was a couple for the, but I'm just, you know, as far as
getting so you're right.
And let me finish. The second thing is it's less expensive than it used to be to get the message out through social media. So we have a bunch of kids who are 21 years old with bolts in their face and tattoos all over the body that can do all this stuff and help us do that.
I totally agree with you, but unfortunately, company included. One of the things about billboards, like you sort of said what I worry about, the resources are here, but they're out
they're
in the
spread
silos.
Out.
They're out in the silos. And so if I were head of communications here, I would have to do exactly what I did at Penn in the early days, and that is I saw an opportunity as the head of communications for the university, capital U, I would have to go around to the deans and try to get them along, come along with me to invest in an opportunity, to use their resources not on that billboard out there for the MBA, but for the university. And so I think you have to be realistic. I'm just being completely, I've been here, I've done this before. And I've done it with an institution that started from behind and ended up winning. I mean, we're now in the top five research universities in the country. You know, and back then, we were not there. But the institution along the way invested. And Penn was not a rich place at all. If you look at endowments, we are at the bottom of the list almost, along with Cornell, I think. So I think you ahead of time, and it does take a long time, just now have to begin to think about how you make certain that this word can be spread. That you don't end up with a report with recommendations and sheets of paper that you can't do because you don't have the resources. And it's just my recommendation as somebody who wants to make certain that you actually accomplish what you want to, your goals.
I think if people, the deans and different influential people in the university understand what this does for the university as a whole, then it's just going to help them also, help their different parts of the university. We're going to get the buy-in. Obviously, there's going to be some people that are going to fight it, but every institution has it as part of the deal. But I think overall, this is so important. We have to do this, and I think that most people kind of agree with the fact that, you know, everything we've talked about is kind of where we've come from, where we are, and where we're going. I mean, I think everybody pretty much agrees with that. I think we're going to get mostly buy-in on this. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think this is a good cautionary note to remember that you talked earlier about going out into the units and pulling back $3.5 million. I mean, we can go back into the units and pull maybe another 100,000. So I think there we do have to. I think as we do this, try to say the most bang for the buck. You know, what is the most important part of this? What will lead to the biggest impact for us to invest initially? Things like that. You know, you all know we really are just faced a very large, $25 million reduction, the no PICO. These are real dollar cuts, and so it's a little different. I read the old notes of the trustee meetings and want those glory years of another $20 million coming in,
another $10 million, another building, you know.
We're not there right now, and so... You know, so I think a little bit of caution that, you know, we can all think, gee, we'll get out and we'll blanket the media, we'll have the TV, we'll buy the Super Bowl ad, you know, that we've got to stage this. And I think setting the priorities is important for staging.
But I think the other part of it is that we are reaching out to people, and that's going to help both on fundraising. We are doing a legislative aspect of this, and that's going to help bring legislative money in. So I don't think it's just asking all of us to just go out and just put out. I think it's a combination we're going to be putting out and we're going to be getting back to.
But I think the point is, we need to prioritize what our output is and not build our expectations up to where we can't deliver. And I think that's the caution, and
that's the
it's well said.
And I just to end on a really positive note, I mean, I really do believe that this institution, and I have since 2 years ago, when MJ knows this, that this institution has the opportunity all lined up. The stars are right there. If, for example, you could get a mega gift in the area of marine and coastal science and really build a significant amount of buzz around that, which has happened at some other universities where they were not the flagship but were much lesser and were much more drawing just from right around themselves. And you could actually do what they've done, which is to actually leap over the flagships. And I've seen that happen in a couple of places, including some privates like Northeastern University, which was nowhere 15 years ago in Boston, and now Northeastern has campuses in Seattle and Charlotte. That is very well respected in the business community for their co-op programs and their research. So, I mean, you've got it all going. It's a matter now of finding out exactly how to send these messages, how to package them, and how to engage those people and having the resources to do that.
Thank you.
But it's a pleasure to work with you.
Well, I'd like to take a minute, if everybody could submit their sheets, first of all, give them to Jennifer, that would be great. And I'd like to go around the room. I know, Arthur, you might have to leave. Do you want to go first, if you could sort of give some comments and we've spoken?
Okay. No, I like, overall, I think this is great. I think this needs to be done. After sitting here and listening to this, I think we're close. I don't think we're trying to break any false perceptions of the university what it is, but rather define who we are before somebody else tries to define who we are. And that somebody else can be a legislator, it could be someone in the community or a prospective student. So I think getting ahead of this, both a marketing sense and a legislative sense, we talked more in detail about that when we met about what to do here, strategies that we absolutely have to take seriously, and she has to do it. The timeline is absolutely vital because, you know, it can get ahead of us, and we could be targeting something and somebody can do it in front of us, and then everything we did went away. So I think this is crucial and 100% supportive. And I got a flight in 5 minutes, so I'm very sorry.
I hope you're leaving from the book airport.
Yeah, I'm leaving the book.
They'll probably wait.
They'll wait for you.
I
guess it's not USC, or is it? Sure, I know you have a plane waiting too, right?
Right. But can I go?
Oh, right.
You can go with your comment.
Okay. No, I just want to reemphasize, and I'm so glad that Abdul focused on it too. We have a very short window here to get this legislative part of it done, and I'd be happy to help work on it, make it my mission, because I'm also a short-termer, so as you've all noticed, I don't seem to care what I say anymore. But it's important. And they're all busy right now. They're doing their thing to get elected, to get their supporters, to get their whatever. But we can get our plan in order, and then we can start working it. There's, you know, so that'll narrow some of it so we know where we can start focusing. And then there's others that'll go on till November. And we can probably talk to some staff in that, but, you know, then we can get their attention. But we have to do it, and we have to have a plan, and we have to do it right. You know, when a premier legislator came to me in March and said, you people better get your legislative plan together. And that was a serious thing. And I've assured that person that we are, and I don't want to screw it up, because it'll cost us. Let me just put it in real easy terms. It's going to cost us if we don't. We've skated, and we can't skate much longer. We got to, if we want to move into the big time, I mean, go to Florida. My God, how many lobbyists do they have? And I did notice that their head person, Jane Adams, is now working for the Chamber Foundation. So we just have to get with the program. So I'd love to do that.
The presidents are meeting of the system, and we all recognize that we all had major legislative failures last year. And I think as a unified group, our primary ask is going to be a restoration of the $300 million that was cut last year, and perhaps additional funding that's targeted toward, you know, really what had come in before as...
New Florida Initiative
to, you know, bundle something around that. But I think it's critical that we're all supportive of that. And then I think, obviously, every institution, us included, needs to go in for really some special...
Our own specific
agenda items. But I do think restoration of the $300 million cut is critical for all of us.
Is it realistic?
You can answer better.
I don't know. Yesterday was a little scary because it didn't sound like there's a lot more money coming our way.
Yeah, the governor's made that pretty clear. He wants strong higher ed, but you have to figure out a way to pay for it. Bob?
I believe in Santa Claus. No, I'm just kidding. I've always believed that you are what you think you are, what you're going to be. You know, and I've always wanted to be a successful business person. I've always wanted to live in Florida, and I've made it happen. And I had the skill set to do it. But if I am where I am right now, it's kind of where I was expected to be. And I think that's what FAU needs to do. We need to decide where we want to be and then tell people that that's where we're going to be. We will accomplish that. It has to be, as you know, when I walk across campus, community engagement and research. Research guys, I've had very few people thank me at FAU for what I do, and not that I'm looking for thanks, but the research people always come up to me and say, thank you, because we've really focused on research. So I think our message needs to be very simple so that everybody that hears it understands it. To Sherry's point, sitting in those meetings yesterday over in St. Pete with the Blue Ribbon Task Force and talking to the people running the Blue Ribbon Task Force, talking to the governor's office and talking to the legislatures, I think the funding mechanism for our universities is going to change. Not only the funding mechanism, but I think the management of our universities is going to change so drastically, potentially, over the next couple of years. If Scott is reelected, I think that we're going to be looking at a completely different way of managing the university. So we have to be ahead of the game so they know who FAU is, because if not, they're going to tell us who we are. We fall in that position between the big guys and the not-so-big guys. We're right in the middle, and we can go either way. I want to also make a point along my lines about you are who you want to be. No, shut up. You know, Ben Franklin, you know, that's how he was. Georgia Tech, you think of engineering. Hopkins, you think of medicine. I mean, universities have been very successful at this. Florida State is a girls' college and a circus school.
Oh.
To bring that on.
Wow. It was, and it always will be.
Anthony, you want to follow that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, man, you caused a few people to
laugh.
Yeah.
This is getting fun. Are you sure you don't think you're a short timer?
Start out telling me you don't believe in Santa Claus.
We are dead meat.
No, I think Bob is right in that we need to project who we want to be today. And I think we've taken incredible steps to do that as a part of our strategic plan. I don't know if any other universities have been as specific in their areas that they're going to be focused on as we have. I think we're taking some leadership steps to move into the ranks of the upper echelon universities in Florida. I think that we know that. We need to be able to communicate that. So we have the pieces. It's not like we're starting from a deficit. I think we're starting from an advantage. We need to utilize that. And I think these are good steps in that direction.
Yeah. I do want to say this is a great conversation. It's something that the students have also, in student government, it's something that we started a conversation as far as we know what we do, and we do it great, but the other students don't know. Like, the things that we fund, most students don't even know that they fund certain things. And so I think that we all agree that we have achievements and that we've done certain things. Now we just need to get that out there and let the community and the nation know what we do. Because I know that a lot of students come on the FDU campus kind of iffy if they want to go here. And once they come on the campus, then they really want to come here. It's something about the aesthetics of it. Everything's new, and we are somewhat of a young institution, and so there's a lot of opportunity, and that's something that a lot of students realize, and that's something that I realize as well, is that there's a lot of opportunity here, and there's so many things that you can get involved in. And so I think that this conversation is great, that we're having this, and that once we kind of hone in on what we want to advertise as what we do great, then we'll get the buy-in from the community and from the nation. But I think that we do have, we know what we're doing great. Now we need to get it out there. And it's something as easy as just putting a logo on certain things as like a billboard and like in New York or Massachusetts, with just our logo on it. Because we have so many students in the Northeast that come down here. I mean, I've seen it at the student level, and it could be because most of them live in the dorms. But there's a lot of students from that Northeast area that come here because of the location, for one. But there's something about it. And so I think that if we realize what it is that gets them to come here, and if we just advertise to more students, then we can generate more revenue, because they're out-of-state students, and most of them live in the dorms. And I think that a lot of it is just getting our name out there, branding, and pushing our logo on everything, and we'll get more buy-in from the community and from all the nations. But it's a great conversation, and I'm glad that we're having it. And, I'm looking forward to this year.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's been a good meeting. Sitting here and listening, Sherry, I know you appreciate this more than me, but we've come a long way since I came on this trip. And it's great to see. I think the two-year concept is fading as we get to be more of a destination school. And it pleases me to talk to people whose children are coming here. And for the reasons I asked, why did you choose FAU? Whether it's my neighbor went to UCF, why didn't you choose FAU? Or someone who was working on me medically and happened to be, their daughter was just starting at FAU. And she said, we went up to U of F and looked there. And my daughter went up to Boca and it's close. And when she looked at the new dorms, looking at the dorms at U of F and looking at the dorms here, this is where I'm going. So, different things for different people. And I think the students coming in are a great source of where we get. As far as students coming from the Northeast, I can tell you, they come down here pretty regular on the summer vacations, see their grandparents or whatever it may be. They go back home and they hear about it maybe while they're down here. And, gee, it's nice to go down there. My grandmother's down here. I can see her and go to school and have the beach and nice dorms and everything. So there's a lot of Northeast people come down, and that is a good area for us to look at. Sherry's comment, I think, totally in agreement with, we need to get our governmental act together, without a doubt. It was embarrassing. We're in the right direction.
We are.
Thank you, everybody. And you have the forms, or you're going to be giving them the forms, so you're going to let us know when you're going to start putting that together. We will collate all that, put that together, and we'll also maybe potentially get it out to some other people to ask some more to add to that for you. We are also doing a legislative piece to this, and we've actually made some nice progress in that area. We're not ready to announce all the details of that yet, just from a competitive advantage standpoint, kind of leave it like that. But we realize how important that is. A lot of people have been working on it and thinking about it and talking about it, and as our president said, the big money is there. That's where a lot of money is, but then the question is how much money are we going to get? As our chairman said, you know, this is going to change a lot in the next couple of years. How drastically it's going to change, you know, nobody really knows. There's all sorts of stuff out there, but I think that we're well-equipped to handle that. I think we're well-equipped to get in the front of the whole legislative issue. We have a lot of good people here. We have a great story to tell. There's a lot of resources around that we can use, so I'm excited from that standpoint. I think they're really going to make a change and a difference from that standpoint. I think the combination of the marketing and a legislative piece is going to help us in fundraising. It's going to help us. I mean, we have work to do. It's interesting. This meeting did not go how I thought it was going to go from the standpoint of kind of the directions, but I think it's great that I think we've done a really good job of finding really what we have to do, and I'm glad that we're going to define that versus some people on the outside are going to define what we are. And I like the comment about the blue shirts at Best Buy. By the way, that guy is now out, but that's another story.
Yeah, that happens.
Right, absolutely. But I like that. He just kept putting it out there and putting it out there, and before you knew it, all the people, that's the way it is, and it's not really that hard to do that if you have consistency in messaging. With that, is there any other comments? We're going to adjourn. I have a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second?
Second.
Adjourn. Thank you.
We have graduation on the 7th, and we're honoring Marilyn Link with a President's Medal for her contributions. And we also have the groundbreaking for the new dormitory, which is
8:30 in the morning.
August 6th.
I'm not coming to that.
Yeah, but you see the ground being torn up out there, and I think that's all very exciting too.
That's going to make a big difference.
Today? Yeah. Wow. I am coming. I'm doing Maryland's graduation today, but I can't. I can't come to the groundbreaking. I mean, I'm leaving tomorrow. I got.
But I mean, at the one that
I am good. Yeah, you know, that was my trip out of the Bahamas. I couldn't go to Google. I now have to go, and I see him.
But I didn't think about it till that.
And out the Bahamas, yeah, glorified camping with San Santa, trying to be homeless.
Wait 1 second to make sure to stop.